your spirit in the life of everyone here. We're grateful for your ongoing work, both during and outside this conference. Thank you for the equipping that comes to us. Thank you for your training, your nurture that's extended to us. We ask again, in your word, we'll receive insight, instructions. We have motion, we'll be admonished, we'll be instructed. Our hearts will be knitted up together, and as a church, we'll bind them together to function much more in your plans and purposes. Patience, esteeming the relationships that you have brought us into in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As our teacher, I need some volume, please. Praise God. The life of a minister of the gospel is in the instructions that it leads to. The life, the longevity of a minister of the gospel is in the instructions it leads to. Matthew 9. It's our text. In verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moving compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered as sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The next thing we saw in chapter 10 was that he began to send out the few laborers to preach the gospel. I will send them out in Matthew 10. He says, go as you go. He says, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. And we said this refers to the interactions within the gospel. Interactions through which the interruptions make sense. Fulfills its purpose. Are we together? Seven, we interact with the saved. We find ourselves also interacting with the unsaved. With the unsaved. Matthew 28, it says, 18, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sorry, go into all the world and teach all nations. Verse 18. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not, sorry. Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I was quoting Mark 16. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Are we together? Interactions. I want to say interactions. Holy interactions. I want to talk about supernatural relationships. Are we together? I have a teaching, a series to explain this line. But again, because of meeting, the Lord laid upon my heart. Are we together? To mention some things in this atmosphere, along this line. You see, you must learn to define the relationships that comes into your life. The entire life of a believer is described as the holy interaction. Hebrews chapter 12 and 14, he says to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall what? See the Lord. Are we together? I remember some years ago, I engaged a particular minister of the gospel, an elder minister of the gospel, or he engaged me. He asked questions. It wasn't that he was ready to learn. He came with some texts. He came with his chest loaded with Bible texts. And as my custom is, I patiently explained all the texts to him. All. Going to about 20-something, 30-something texts. He's an elder minister, of course. Maybe the age group, the age gap between us will be over 30 years. Yeah. So, and it wasn't that I was ready to learn, but he listened. They explained. So one of the texts he had issues with was the Hebrews 12:14 text. He says, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I have to explain holiness to him in that text. He says to follow peace with all men, which is holiness. So the holiness in the text there has to do with walking in love. Are we together? And before I was going to tell you, and so and so and so, what of the no man shall see the Lord? I say, of course, no man shall see the Lord in you. Is it clear? Is it clear? It's not a text on rapture. It's a text on your conduct reflecting the Father. Amen. So, follow peace with all men. That is your holiness. Holiness means separation. So, the way you demonstrate your separation from this chaotic world is by reflecting the Father. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, the same thing. It says, be ye fellowers of God, little children, and walk in love, forgiving one another. Are we together? Matthew 5, if you read from verse 45 to 47, talks about walking in love, reflecting the Father. That he may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Are we together? Matthew 5, 47. So he says, follow peace with all men, which is your separation, your distinction, your holiness. Your holiness without which the unsaved, are we together? We will not what? See the Lord in your life. Is it clear, church? So that means as a Christian, our entire life is described as a holy interaction. Our activities, interactions with the unsaved, interactions with the saved. Among the saved themselves, we now have categories of people. You have the saved and unserious. You have the saved and lethargic. Saved but lukewarm. You have the saved but churchless. Churchless. I almost said toothless. A churchless Christian is a toothless Christian. The devil is never scared of you. Are we together? The devil is never scared. See the dog before that is barking and has no tooth. Look at it like this. You put your mouth in his nose. There's no teeth. Because the strength is gone. But be careful, it does not have a claw. Are we together? Let you find yourself to blame. Amen. Are we together? So the Christians, amongst the congregation of the saved, are we together? We have interactions. Interactions. In Colossians chapter 4, and then in verse 17, we find a man, Paul, gives an instruction, what we call a public instruction, to a man called Archippus. Someone say Archippus. Say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. A public instruction. A proof of love is when you are publicly addressed many times. Say unto Archippus. History has it that Archippus was already giving him the towel concerning the work of the ministry. But I showed you that text to show you that there are therefore things that we expected to pay attention to. In the work of the ministry, there are ethics. Say to your neighbor, say ethics. Ministerial ethics. There are ministerial ethics. It's part of the training I spoke about. Well, I told you yesterday that when the training of the Spirit is not there, it is not what? It is not there. Ministry ethics. There are things we call ministry ethics. It's the work of your pastor to teach you. Ministry ethics. For example, ministry ethics is that you don't give out the number of your pastor or your leader to anyone without his consent or their consent. It's just a basic, simple ministry ethics. Ministerial ethics I've learned over a long time is that when I am around an elder minister, that is the time to talk less or not to talk at all. You see, some folks, they do not understand the same fact. The pastor called you to have a conversation with you. It is him that called you. You're not the one that called him. And by the time you get talking, you're always interrupting. It shows that you lack ethics. Any small thing, you have interjected. Any small thing, you have interjected. In fact, it doesn't even have to be in the ministry, even in the natural. When you are talking with an elder person, are we together? In a conversation, culture teaches you to what? To take the back seat in talking. Except they ask you, what's your opinion? Sometimes you are in the midst of 3, 4, 5 elders that are talking. You do what? You are quiet. Are we together? That is morals. That is proper child development. You know, sometimes a child might do something outside, and when you look at the side, you say, ah, this one does not have home training. Right? 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 Look at this. In the local church also, there's what we call training. When you go out, people who have training in their church can look at this. This one doesn't have training. Koleko. There's what we call family training. I remember some time ago, someone accused me. He says, why are all or your members of your church behaving alike? He says, all of them are behaving alike. All of them. I say, what's your problem? The members of your own church, have they been stolen? Have they been stolen? I wonder if anything had told me some time ago. He says, why are you always sharing your pastor's post? I said, your own pastor. I said, is he confused? Is your pastor stolen? Or he does not have anything useful for you to share? Come together. Study to be what? Quiet. And to mind your own business. Come together. Are we together? Someone shared on his post. He says, I have the best pastor in the world. I have the best pastor in the world. Thank God for my pastor. And then you start agitating and you are angry. Has your own pastor gone to hell? Are we together? Are we together? Ministerial ethics. There are proper ministerial ethics. Part of ministry ethics, for example, is that when you are going to visit a minister of the gospel, you don't go empty word and dead. Are we together? Are we together? You go with a gift. You go with an item. Every time, personally, every time I have to see or visit my pastor, even if it was a big moment. Remember one of the meetings I had, last few meetings I had with pastor, the meeting was just for a brief moment. I had to travel over 7 hours on the road. 7 hours on the road. 7 hours. Or about 8 hours I was on the road for a 10-minute meeting. 10 minutes. It wasn't even up to that. By the time I was done, he had shared what he wanted to share with me. I said, thank you, sir. What I brought, and then you over. Fail. The lorry man has gone. I found lorry, but the Lord. That's what they call me. Don't worry, they will soon add the U
in front of the L.
Are we together?
And look fine, Lord. Yeah. Well, now you see how far. The call is here to speak.
Are we together? I'm calling again. Entering into the city. Enter my city in those bodies I'm going, or I'm driving as I'm going. My faith is set as a fiend.
Say, sir, this, can you speak words over me?
I can't go without a blessing. I'm never tired of his utterances. Never.
The man's voice has set the course for my life. You all are here today because of his voice over my life.
Are we together? So, there are ministerial ethics. Things that you ought to know if you are called or if you have been trained into the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part or one of such ethics of a ministry is that anytime you are having a Christian meeting, anytime you are having a meeting, you show up before the session starts. Ministry ethics. Ministerial ethics. I preach on that for now. The man will talk about it some other time. Amen. So there are things to pay attention to. Things to pay attention to. That if you don't pay attention to those things, you will not be able to train people well. You will also not be able to receive the training well. And one of the things, one of those vital things, is what I'm here to talk about, is concerning your relationships. Someone say your relationships. What I call supernatural relationships. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then in verse 33, Paul says, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. He that soweth into his flesh shall also reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth into the spirit of the spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary well be, for in due season we shall reap if we fail not. He says in verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us go do it unto all, especially unto them that are of the household of the faith. The same verse says, whosoever a man soweth, that he shall reap. So there's something called sowing and reaping in relationships. A vital ingredient in fulfilling God's plans for our lives is relationships. Just by observing your own life currently, and you see the little, if so, of the amount of sanity that is in your life today, the spiritual development that you have garnered and gathered in your life today, the insight into God's word that has made you strong in your walk today, the amount of conviction you have that has helped you to walk in faith, even in the believer's authority. You look at the very many blessings in your life today that is attached to the Christian faith. You will observe that they were all a function of associations. Right or wrong? Right. Associations. God has sent us men. Every now and then in our journey with Him, He has gifted us the gift of men. Men. Because we are all products of influences. And we are more vulnerable to influences and relationships than we think. We are more vulnerable than we think. Therefore, God says that the man who has gotten relationships right has gotten 80 to 90% of God's plan for his life right. And the man who has got his relationship wrong has gotten 80 to 90% of his walk with God in shambles. Are we together?
Association
is everything.
Association. Your associations and what kind of association you yourself have. Are we together? Because things does not just happen in the ministry. Things doesn't just happen in the ministry. In fact, let me say it like this. It is not only things that happen to us in the ministry. People also happen to us. People also happen to us. Are we together, church? Are we together? People also happen to us. Amen. People also what? Happen to us. It's not only things. It's not only things. People also happen to us. People. Are we together? The platform upon which ministry is fulfilled is in the platform of relationships. For example, imagine I'm here today holding a mic with over 80 chairs here and there is none of you here. Will it make sense? Will it make sense? So this, for example, is a platform upon which I am fulfilling my ministry even as we speak. The same way observe you all are gathered. You have even gathered 500 people and nobody is strong or fit enough to bring you the counsel of God. Will it make sense? It makes sense. So I've also become a platform with which you fulfill your ministry. So what is happening right now is an interaction. Interaction. Are we together? The platform on which we will fulfill our call is the platform of supernatural relationships. So the interruption of God, which was said, is because of the what? Intervention. Are we together? Will birth relationships. Relationships. Are we together? And the way we treat those relationships affects whether we will fulfill God's plan for our lives or not. The way I treat relationships will affect whether I will fulfill God's plan, God's call or not. So the call of God brings me into relationships and interactions. And these relationships are called supernatural relationships. The relationships that the call brought me into. I didn't say relationship that you carved out for your own self. Relationship that the work of the ministry has brought you into. By the time you observe Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16, the closing text of Paul's letters, you observe the various supernatural relationships that Paul had. And you observe what he was doing in those texts. He was mentioning them. Because look at me. Relationships, supernatural relationships are meant to be what? To be mentioned. Mention. Are we together? Are we together? People brought into my life, spiritual contacts, supernatural contacts, as a result of the call of God, they become the platform to fulfill that call.
Wake that brother. Wake that brother. Wake that brother. Wake that brother. Brother Jonah. Any small thing. He lost it. Sleeping.
Are we together? What will these relationships do? they will correct me. Correction means to set aright. They will strengthen me. They will build me. Tell your neighbor, see, supernatural relationships. What's another word for supernatural? Extraordinary. They will protect me. They will preserve me. Don't forget we said, look at me. We said the call goes what? With the man, isn't it? So look at this. When the man dies, what happens to the call? The call pauses. Stops. Ends. So God supplies the relationship that preserves you. Your preservation is the preservation of the call. It is the call that they are preserving. Is it clear? Did you get what I just said now? What are they preserving? Call. Now, do you know why I'm teaching this? I'm teaching this so that, look at this, two things. I'm explaining this so that if you are listening to me, you can know how to receive, right? From supernatural relationships, you can also know how to what? Be one. You know your duty as one. What is that they are preserving? The call. So look at me. I'm getting ahead of myself, but mention it now. If it is the call they are preserving, supernatural relationships do not make you to feel easy, lazy, like a dicey around the call. Your supernatural relationships will not make you to feel contented with small. When they know that you are called for something what? Bigger. They don't allow you to just let me be. They won't allow you be. They will not allow you be. Leave me alone. They will not leave you alone. You know why they are around you? It's not you they like. It's not they just like you. God has placed them around you. Are we together? Sometimes to police you. To do what? To police you. His parts. That's not all. His parts. Spans. They are around you to what? To preserve, to protect you. Are we together? Like this pillar, to do what? To support you. Supernatural relationships, like this, to support you. Peter, Satan, a desire to sift you like a wheat. But I have prayed for you. Supernatural relationship. So that when you are restored, converted, you may strengthen the supernatural. So Peter will be in between, receiving and being one. You get the gist. You get the gist? Do you get it? It therefore becomes an attack of Satan when you are fighting those relationships.
Where is brother so and so?
I don't know.
Why?
It is well.
Enja. Oh, dear, ma want to ye ke ma baja. You don't even know those you should not worry with. Enja. Enja. Quarreling. And I tell you what is behind that quarrel shortly. I tell you what is usually underlying the quarrel. One of the things underlying the quarrel is competition. You are competing. Competition. What he has, you also want to have. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. This is the way God works. There are things you don't have with the Holy Ghost in you, and God has given it to another person. There are things that person doesn't have, and God has put it in you. He now works a relationship between you, so that by coming into a relationship with that person, you can minister and receive. But what Satan does is that he perverts it, he corrupts it, or he separates it. He tries to cut it. What he can cut, he will corrupt. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Nature already teaches you that. Did you observe? Look at everyone. That a man cannot even bring another human being to the earth without needing another man. Another human being. A human being cannot bring another human being to the earth without needing the involvement of another human being. Nature already teaching you that the help of God for one is in the other. So before a man or a woman can procreate all together, you now have to come into a relationship with another human being. I'm careful with the word, use of the word man. Now, are we together? But be listening. Sometimes man means human being. Is it clear? You now have to come into a relationship with another word, human being. I want to conclude this thought in a single session because I have more things to share with you. There are some things already I'd postpone it to 2025. Like then, just look at it. I share this next day. Let me talk about it now. So, if I don't finish this, I'll talk about it again in the next session. So that when we're having our teaching series, by now you know how I teach, right? We have been mentioned. They will now visit it with what? Long. If you have been observing me over the years, that's my style. Are we together? Nature already teaching you. Look at this. Look at me. He puts things on the earth, right? He puts man there. He now puts in man. See, he puts resources on the earth. Plenty resources. Diverse resources. He now puts man on the earth. He now gave man mind and brain that adds up
You know, it's one thing to have brain. It's another thing for you to add up. Add up means that the intelligence in your head was able to utilize the resources on ground. Are we together? To solve a particular challenge, there was a connection. The intelligence was able to connect with the resource to solve a problem. And look at this. He now gives multiple people brain so that it is normal that one person will not see something. It is another that will see it. Is it clear? So look at what some people have seen. Some people have been able to see how to solve problem regarding health. The other, what they have seen is how to solve social issues. The other one, what they have seen is how to resolve scarcity problem. Another one, what they have seen is how to add natural things together to make living easy. Engineering. How together? The other one, what they have seen is how to look into nature and use plants. Are we together? And animals to create what? Solutions. Medicine for human troubles. Pharmacy. Are we together? Are we together? Nature already teaches you that we are deficient in isolation, but we are sufficient in our relationships. So sufficiency comes from relationships. Is it clear, George? Sufficiency. So you see why the interruption will lead to what? Interactions. Sufficiency comes from what? Our associations, interactions, relationships. Relationships. Are we together? Are we together? That is nature. Nature teaching us how God walks amongst men. Look at Numbers 27. What text did I call? Did it say number 27? Is that what it said? Is that he said number 27? I said Numbers chapter 27 and number 27. Michael Ikuman is smiling. Are we together? Now your name has entered our teaching. People will find that. When people are trying to find out who is that Michael, you better be in church. So we'll not be telling the story that Olojodu can love. That won't be your portion. Are we together? Numbers 27. Look at what it says. 17. Before then, look at verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set what? A man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep without a shepherd. 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Are we together? Why would Moses say that? Because at that point, Moses you know, God had already told him, you will not get into Canaan. So he knew he would not enter into the promise, into Canaan, the promised land. I'll be together. So he asked God in prayers to repeat. He is not telling God what God should do. It was a prayer of choice and selection. Are we together? It's one of the things you must learn to observe is how the men in the Old Testament books prayed. So you don't misquote their prayers. He's telling you, he wasn't advising God. That was his prayer of saying, show me who. He says, Joshua, the son of Nun, in whom is the training? That's the word spirit there. The attitude, the training. He says, lay your hands on him. Do observe something. He says, you will lay your hands on him. Relationships. Relationships. Then he says, God will set a man over the congregation of his people. That means God is present, yet God will send them a man. So hear me clearly. The presence of God is not enough. He walks through men. Are you there? Are you there? So these are people that have been brought into our lives who will help us to move us further in God's plans. We call them supernatural relationships. Let's see some things. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. We beseech you, brethren, I take it again. Observe before then, he said in 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. So there is interactions amongst ourselves. But you also observe in the same breath, he now says, to know them which labor among you. Now, that word know there means to recognize. To recognize them, he says, which labor among you. These are leaders. And are over you in the Lord. So that means, in as much that we can have the church and all are saved, all are saints, all are laborers, are we together? Walking in their callings, we are not all the same. There are people that are over you in the Lord. Let me borrow your word. Your seniors in Christ. Your seniors. Your what? Someone says senior. I remember some 16 or 18 years ago in secondary school. Okay, but the boys' high school. Yeah. Wore cream top and a carton color trouser. I didn't say trouser made of carton. I said carton color trouser. So we are doing this. The pastor said that they used to wear carton. Did Bromike hear what I said? Your name will litter all this teaching. This very one. You didn't hear what I said? Hey. I won't repeat myself. Are we together? So wear that kind of color trouser, a short, pink, pink, you know, junior school. I remember that during break time. By the time that break time dug out, it's time for break. Then we have been waiting for it. We just carry a new. What's the name of this ball? No, it wasn't Felele. Health! It's health! You don't know health. You know health. We'll buy the health then. You know, our health is usually specially prepared. You will get Felele, then you put it inside health. God. Are we together? Then we'll quickly take it to those that pump keke. You know, pump keke. They don't want to blow it for you. Out. All of us that want to play ball will go. By then it's like, everybody, go to the school. Then you start choosing one another. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And then the skillful ones would have chosen themselves. They will now leave us. I was never a good footballer. That thing for me is like it comes and goes. When the grace comes on me, I'll play well. When the grace has left away, so they didn't choose me. Because they don't know what to see their experience. I went together. After I missed, I didn't join them again. So when they were looking for prefects, I was the first in line. They said, hey. So I had my retribution. Before it's break time, we are out again. Seizing different kind of balls. Are we together? So we bring the ball out. We play. Amen. Now when it's break time, the moment we throw the ball out, as though some guys are waiting for us, those ones usually wore long trousers. The moment they show up like this, you can't run away. Some of us, crafty guys, they will just, it's the ball they came for. They don't have balls. They don't have football. They will go about scouting for this. So they will gather different groups because the field is like as big as this. Maybe like, hundred students can be playing ball. Different things, different goalposts everywhere. And we all knew our lines. These guys will come. So they will gather all of us together. They'll be testing the football. Say, this one is new. Then maybe they brought one. Don't take Paku. So they give it that one. They change the entire match. So they will go. And after break, they will not return it. Because they still want to play it after we are done with the school hour. Are we together? We used to call them seniors. Yeah, a senior in here. A senior. Senior. But that wasn't enough. That was just a minute part of the Egyptian tyranny. Pharaoh. And Pharaoh KPK. Are we together? Well, I wasn't a senior like that. I was a good shepherd. I remember a lot, because I changed the school by the time I was in GS3. I changed the school. I'd come to Abadna College, where's your battle? I was in Abadna College, a senior, SS1, SS2. So by then, junior would just rush to me. This. I was the one that was in. I still wasn't playing football. You know? So right there. Some of the things they did to us then is that during break time, they will call us together. What are you eating? What are you eating? I remember then, we used to buy this food. Gonna lose this. Rice, beans, and a fork in a nylon. You didn't do it.
Oh.
Is it, did God really call you? Is your call genuine? Hot rice with some efo and egusi with beans. So you press it like this. You miss like this. Then you will cut it at the edge. Then you press it out. If we didn't eat those ones, we will eat. Do you know elekute? You know elekute? Do you know elekute? Brown like this. Powdered. Or gari. You know they bring this gari in this nylon. You know yodi? You know yodi nylon? You don't know yodi? Yes. You bring, what you call? They will put gari, the one that swells. And then they will now add sugar. You don't know. So sugar they will first of all add. So the sugar will go like a cone structure like this. They will now add gari to it. They will now sell us water, 1 naira. That water is the one they use for what, that nylon again? Eh? Ice water nylon, right? Ice water nylon. So we'll buy ice water nylon, then they will sell kuli kuli. You know kuli kuli? They sell kuli kuli, 1 naira. Ice water, 1 naira. Then that gari might be like around 1.50 naira. So you buy it, then you open it. Open the nylon carefully. Then you add the garlic and the sugar. Then you break the kuli. Then you tie it. Then you wait. So it can swell up. You cut again. If you didn't do that, are we together? We would jump fence to go and buy it. Then later on, they brought this, pito, that they were coloring, that they were ice like this. We will spend 3 hours. That thing is as cold. That one is the real cold stone. Now, we together, not this one they saw earlier. That one is the real cold stone. If you bank it on somebody's head, the person will not go to heaven. The angels will reject him at the entrance gate of heaven. Kid one and load them before he lay. Are we together? And then we grew up. So the seniors will come. Some of them will say, oh yeah, go and buy this. They will give you, they can give you like 10 naira. And they will sit down and they will tell you many things to buy. We also used to buy wara. This fried wara. Wara. Ha-ha. Oh God, let me stop that now. Amen. Those are seniors. And there was nothing we could do because they were over us. Now that's a bad example. But there's something called your seniors in Christ. Are we together? Seniors. Your seniors. So he says to recognize them. Those ones are not, you know, they are different guys of Agba. That one is, those ones are Agbaya. Are we together? Those ones are Agbaya. Amen? Well, in the church also, somebody can try to be what? An Agbaya. Is it clear? Don't allow such people. Like the shepherds we read yesterday. Those were the what? Agbaya. Those were the Agbaya shepherds. Amen? Ezekiel 34. Shepherd Agbaya. Are we together? So in 2 Thessalonians 5:12. He says, to know them that labor among you, which are over you in the Lord. The very first thing you see is that by saying they are over us in the Lord, why did he say that? He says they labor among you. So what makes people to be over the others is what? Their labor. Is it clear? If you are not a laborer in the assembly, any kind of authority that you are trying to wield is what? Agbaya. Are we together? Read Agbaya, not the Agbaya of the bowl that we to fetch water. Amen. To recognize them. So there is a them. There is a depth. Are we together? And it becomes my responsibility to create a distinction or to recognize the distinction in these relationships. Are we together? Are we together? The relationships are not the same. Tell your neighbor, say the relationships are not the same. That's your seniors in Christ. The relationships are not the same. You have leaders, you have people over you. People over you. A very good example of the person over you is your cell leader. Your unit leader. And by the time you have been in church, you observe that those are two various offices, that their activities is never confused. Your cell leaders know their boundaries, their jurisdiction. Your unit leaders do too. The person discipling you in the church, the one who brought you in and has been assigned to continue teaching you and overseeing your growth and your progress. One of the ways you know that this person is the one is over me is that they demand reports from you. We also get instructions and directives across to you through them. Are we together? Over you, don't say over me. Your disciples, your coordinators, your cell leaders, you have fellowship, your fellowship leaders. Your disciples, your unit leaders, they are over you. Are we together, church? Are we together? And I recall that yesterday, the day before, we began to do a walk around the call of God. We began to remove factors and address them. Factors of age. So their age is not why they are over you. Their responsibility is why they are over you in the Lord. He says, they labor among you. Responsibility. Their gender, male or female, a brother or a sister, is not why they are over you. Their material status, having money or not having it, is not why they are over you. Having been graduates of university or students of the university has nothing to do with the reason why they are over you. They can be graduated from university and over you. They can see it's possible that they are still on campus and you have graduated like 5, 6, 7 years ago. It does not matter. They are over you. They are over you. And the moment someone is over you, that becomes a relationship. To immediately know. What is the word know again? Recognize. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? The recognition we are talking about here has to do with the way you treat them. So there is a way to treat the persons or the person that is over you in the law. That recognition is a treatment, is a response. In response, are we together? Every one of us here, if you work in a company, you understand what it means for someone to be over you. If you are a student of campus, you know what it means for a lecturer, for someone, a master student in his final or doing his project to be over you as an under-level student. Are we together? You know what it means for a level advisor to be over you. If you are in a trade of some sort, You know what it means for a mentor or elders in that trade. Are we together? If you belong to an association, you know what it means for people to be over you. If you are in a neighborhood, you know what it means. Let's say you rent a house, you know what it means to have a landlord or someone or a chair. If you are a landlord yourself, a chairman of the landlord committee to be what? Over you. So the same thing in the Lord. So when you come to church, some of us know how to be humble and obedient. We know how to be humble and obedient. Humble and obedient when we are being instructed by our superiors. Sometimes the person instructing you from the manager of the company or the HR is way, way, way younger than you. You know how to do, yes, ma. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, ma. I'm sorry, sir. Sometimes the person is younger than you. You even want to help the person to carry their bag because they are over you in the office. You don't want to be in their bad book. Are we together? When it comes to church, say, we'll all have the Holy Ghost. We are all one. We have eaten the bread. Oh no, no more bread. All of us. We are born again. We have eaten the bread of life. Iru bread. You should know, bread. To the. That's why you are thinking like that. What is bread? Bread. Key bread. I'm sure you ate it in the dream. Bread that has had mold all over it. Mold all over it. Bread, 2 months old. It can't be the bread of life that you ate. That you have lost spiritual sense and health. See, all of us are one. We are one body. We are one body. We have drunk of the wine of life. It's not the wine of life you drank. Shek pelum. You have drunk dry gin. Dry gin. It's a mu like a man at all. What's in Thailand? That I can't expect. Your leader is your leader. You think you know the world. Your leader is your leader. Are we together? Your case is not different from the case of a man that didn't come to church. We say, why are you not in church? He says, the church is not a place. The church is a person. The church is not a place. The church is a person. She will want the church. One person, church. Does it even make sense to you that one person is a body? One person, body of Christ, one person. You want the body of Christ. Ivonica, body of Christ, can't be the same Christ I serve. Maybe an anointed demon. Are we together? There are people that are what? Over you. He says that they admonish you. What does it mean to admonish? It means to teach. To remind you of the things you might be forgetting. Admonish means to provide leadership by instruction. To command followership through instruction. Are we together? We have those people in the Lord. He says to recognize them. Look at the next thing he says. What else did he say we should do? 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Are you there? Let's read together in verse 13 now. He says, they admonish you, right? Right? What did he now say you should do? Observe what he calls their own labor. Is that they admonish you. So what did he say you should do? Verse 13, everybody, want to go? To esteem them what? For their what? Observe the three words. Look at those three words. Esteem. Very. highly. You should have said, esteem them. Or should have said, esteem them highly. Yet it says, esteem them very what? Highly. Esteem very what? Highly. Because you are not all the same. Hebrews 13:17, quickly. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, they watch Are we there? Look at verse 7 before them. Remember them which have what? Someone say rule. Rule. So there are people who have what? Rule in the church. Rule over what? Over demons. Is that what it is? Maybe you are the demon. Rule over what? Rule over what? Over me. Over you. How do they have rule over you? Who have spoken unto you what? The word of God. Are those our teachers? So look at me. Anybody that is assigned to teach you in the church is over you in the Lord. They can correct you, they can instruct you. Observe the words I use. I didn't see anybody who is bringing you rema, trying to share the word with you. I say that has been what? Assigned. Anyone who has been assigned to teach you. And by the time you observe the very text where this structure is coming from, Exodus 18, you observe that in the ministry of Moses, Moses had men that he called to be rulers over them. And they gave us the breakdown, Exodus 18. He says he had rulers over what? Thousands. They were also rulers over what? Hundreds. Rulers over what? Fifties. Rulers over what? Twenties. Rulers over what? Ten. Are we together? Are we together? Maybe rulers over 10 today will be cell leaders. Or ruler over 20. Maybe ruler over 10 will be your disciples. Or cell leaders. Or ruler over 20 will be your cell leaders. Maybe ruler over 50s and 100s will be your coordinators. Coordinators, fellowship leaders, as you have it. Maybe your rulers over 1,000 will be your local church pastor. Your local church pastor. Are we together? Are we together? Can we have a single assembly that has 1,000 workers? Yes. It doesn't cost much to have 1,000 workers. If we are serious and we are patient, 50 cells of 20 people is 1,000. I patient shame. 1,000. We can have 100 cells in a city. And we are just starting. Are we together? And each of the cells has 15 to 20 active members. We have 100. That's already 1,500. That can just be one of the assemblies in the city. Are we together? In the whole city, we can have 20 assemblies. Depending on how large the city is, we can have 50 assemblies. And under each assembly, we have 100 to 200 cells. So after a while, just like Acts 19, you now have the whole city have received the word of the Lord. The whole city received the word of the Lord means their disciples are everywhere in the city. That's what it means. Disciples are everywhere. So the one who is over that local assembly can be a ruler. Are we together? Or a captain is the same word. Over a thousand. Then you have under, like that, like that, like that, like that. So the plan of God for a local church is that there are multiple teachers in the church. Plenty teachers in the church. Obviously teaching the same thing. The same message, the same emphasis, the same approach, the same attitude. Plenty ministers of the gospel in a local assembly. Are we together? So anyone who is involved in teaching you and has been assigned to you is the one we're talking about. He is your leader. That means you can look around now and look again at those leaders. They teach you. Leaders over 10. Are we together? You have leaders over what? 10. Now, that means when you have a leader over 50, are we together? That means under that leader, there are how many leaders? Maybe 4 or 5. Who have what? 10 under them. So that one is the leader of the leaders. That's a local church. A local church is not a place where everything is just mixed together, like you mix bread and egg. When you are eating bread and egg, the fried egg, and then the aboki or that or those people, they will take egg, break it, then they put salt, put it inside, then put onion, put it inside. Then pepper that they have grated, pour it inside. Then little maggi, pour it inside. Then pour it and fry. Everything mashed together. That is not a local church. In a church, there is what? Structure and order. There is somebody responsible for somebody. That's why when I see people come around the church and will not yield to that order, I know they won't last. They will not last. They won't live. Nobody can lead, nobody can correct, nobody can put you in order. They will not stay long on. They last in church. They last. They won't last. We'll try to help you. We'll try to teach you. We'll try to show you the structure, what to do this, how to do it. We'll try to help you. We'll nurture you, help you. We'll support you. We're there again, helping, training you. By the time you observe that, this one is not yielding. You don't have to send people away. The structure is there for God's work to see. Those that will be useful will go to the structure and they will come out what? Efficient. They are over you. Over you. The captain over the 100 will have how many leaders under him? They will have 2 that has what? 8. Are we together? Like that. So you see that hierarchy. So Paul said, esteem them very highly. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves. He didn't say submit your teaching notes. Yourself. Submitting yourself. Are we together? Obviously, there is what that means. Submitting yourself obviously does not mean, like I said, there are some advisors. Are we together? We don't have them in our church, though. Submitting yourself does not mean anything they ask you to do, whether it's good or bad, sinful or godly, you just do it. No. Submitting yourself has to do with accountability. I won't talk about that today. Are we together? It has to do with what? Accountability. Let me borrow you some sense. What does accountability mean? Accountability means I recognize I am a man under authority and I keep my activities transparent to the one who has the rule over my affairs in the church. Did you get it? Transparency. Transparency. That's accountability. It means nothing. Look at your neighbor, say nothing. It means that nothing gets to that fellow by surprise. Look at me. Accountability is that you are feeling ill in your body. You say it. Accountability is that you don't have enough material resources at a particular time. You mention it if it's affecting you. Accountability is that a particular opportunity comes to you that has been of a great blessing. You mention it. Oftentimes, when you hear, "Hey, is he everything about me that I will not be telling pastor?" That is the person who does not want to be accountable, because the pastor has not asked to tell him everything. But the reason why you are thinking that way is because you are not accountable. Pastor is busy, for God's sake. Busy. He's busy. You're cell leader. You are running late for a meeting. You inform. That's accountability. You are having a challenge with a disciple early enough. You mention it. So it won't get to a point where it is when we didn't see the person again. We didn't see the person again. That we are now like, where is this fellow? You now start recounting, I've been meaning to tell, you are not a true shepherd. You are a cell leader. You are having a challenge in yourself. You are accountable to. Because one of the things that accountability ensures, and I'm trying my best not to talk about accountability in this session, but one of the things that accountability ensures is that accountability provides you a greater wisdom than your own with which you operate in the ministry. Many benefits. Accountability also means that you will seek permission. So there's a way to recognize those relationships. I told you that recognition is how you want, you treat them. One of the ways you treat them and recognize them is by being what? Accountable. Are we together? I learned something a long while ago from my pastor. He made mention of what somebody else has said. But when he said it, he struck me and stuck with me. Look at this. He says, accountability is that when a blind man, are we together? When a blind man asks you to help him to peel a roasted groundnut, are we together? Accountability is that you continue talking, you don't stop talking, so that at no moment in time should he think you are eating. Accountability. When a blind man asks you, help me peel this roasted corn, that from that moment on, you do what? You keep on talking. So that he does not think that what? You have taken some, eating some. Clear that way in dark care. No, you don't want to give that thought. Accountability. Accountability is that you will prevent. You are preventive. No, Pastor should trust me now. Pastor should trust me now. No. It's not about not trusting you. It's about you not demonstrating a ministerial ethics. You are told to lead a meeting. Accountability is that after you are done leading the session, you send a text to your leader. Some of you, what you do is that after you have led the session in the cell, you now send me a text message. No. It's not only me that you send a text message to. You send a text message to that cell leader who told me that you can be given a platform to serve in the cell, to lead the cell. I don't do anything in the cells except to the cell leader. I don't. That is part of me being accountable to them because it's a two-way thing. It is your cell leader. It is your leader that said, "Oh, sir, I think brother so and so can start taking the offering sessions in the cell meeting." Something that comes, I say, "Oh, because we have a consistent policy of training and we review it." They know we review it over and over. I say, "All right, it's time that we have a set of people move higher in kinds of responsibilities." So nominate people in yourselves. I give them 24 hours, 48 hours. I don't expect that they will go and pray. I expect that they have been observing through interactions. So when they don't nominate you, I don't question it. And sometimes you see an instruction from me come directly to you about something. It is your leader that nominated you. So you thank them for that platform also, as you thank me. It's accountability. It shows that you value the privilege. Are we together? Because value is not demonstrated in passivity. Are we together? A show of value is usually active. You display value, you display it. The display of value is active. You don't say, "I'm grateful to God for this privilege." Was it God that gave you the privilege? Be honorable and honest. "I'm grateful for God for the privilege." Is it God that gave you the privilege? No. It's a man that gave you the privilege. And the privilege the man gave you is now seen as God giving the privilege. God giving the privilege by the man giving the privilege. Are we together? So being accountable is one of the ways we recognize them. That is what it means to submit yourself. It means to be available to take instructions. And any time you are having a challenge carrying out a particular instruction, you quickly do what? You report the challenge and receive wisdom. Your leaders are not hard taskmasters. They just want to be sure that the flesh is not what is ruling you, that you are not backsliding. Are we together? Are we together? So you are there. He says, "Submit yourselves for the watch for your souls, as they must give account." So God will request from them of you that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. He didn't say to God, he didn't say to the work, he says for you. Are we together, church? Basics again. Basics is that there are key relationships. And the local assembly defines our relationships. Look at Ephesians 4, for example. Ephesians 4, 10. "He that descended is he same also that ascended up afar above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the state of men, cunning crafting away by the lie way to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 16. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto itself, fine of itself in love. Are we together, church? You observe something, that the gifts of God are the men in verse 12 and 13. And you observe that the fruit of those men is 14 to 16. So in other words, for me to have 14 to 16, I will need 11 to 13. I will need verse 11 to 13 for me to have verse 14 to 16. So God has put relationships in my life for me to mature in his plans. Ezekiel, church. Don't forget that the local church is the basis of such relationships. The local church. God has put relationships in my life. The call of God has set up relationships in my life and has also set me up as a relationship unto other people. Are we together? Chapter 5, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians, he says, they admonish. They warn you. They warn you. They warn you. Many times you read the word, take heed. Paul saying to Timothy, he says, take heed to thyself. He says, take heed to the doctrine. He told them things to flee. You see, many times, if only we can listen, we will be preserved longer. He tells them things to flee. He gives them instruction about people in the church that must never be given the privilege of leadership. He gives him instructions. Many times, hear this clearly. Instructions themselves are a privilege that not everybody is blessed to have. Instructions themselves are a privilege. It's a privilege to be instructed or to have access to a fatherly or a ministerial or a supernatural instruction. Sometimes, for there to be instructions, there has to be what? A relationship. There are a lot of people in their life today, they are perishing, wallowing in struggling in their ministry. And the reason why they are wallowing and struggling in their ministry is because they don't have the necessary what? Instructions. Why didn't they have the instructions? They have not recognized the relationship that God has put around them. So they have not built the relationship. Yes. Look at this. Imagine Moses was somebody who did not value relationship. Who value relationship? He can call the bluff, anybody's bluff. Like some folks today on social media. Call the bluff. Just talk to anybody anyhow. The instruction that helped his ministry about having leaders that will lead different people, different people, will not have come to him. It will not have come to him. You know what Jethro would have said? Jethro would have said, kokiki kumboro, eja file. Then the next thing is that you just hear that, and I'm serious, you just hear that, Pastor was explain. It was in the Holy Ghost meeting. Holy Ghost meeting. We were having Holy Ghost meeting. As he prophesied, he just fell down and died. What killed him? Stress of ministry. Because there are some things you will not see, another will see it. He took Jethro. It was Jethro that saw it. We saw yesterday, right? He said, this thing that you do is not what? Is not good. You will weary yourself and weary the people. Then he gave him wisdom. He says, therefore, he says, hearken unto me, and I will tell thee what to do. And if the Lord bid this, it shall be well with you. Then he gave him instructions. You know, we are reading summary. Eh? He must have sat him down and give him what? A leadership structure. In summary, you are reading, don't be forgetting this simple fact. In summary, you are reading. Jethro must have sat down. Are we together? Are we together? Jethro must have sat down and give him a what? A ministerial structure. A structure. How did Jethro get that structure? Experience. How did he get to Moses? Relationship. Definitely that couldn't be the first time that Moses will receive counsel from him. No. So he has observed that this one, he will listen. That's why he came to rebuke him. How will he come to rebuke him? How will you rebuke a man like Moses? Say, what is it that you are doing? What is it that you are doing? He said, come here, sit down. What is it that you are doing? Why are you doing like this? What kind of thing is this? Because as orderly as the man Moses looked like, there was still disorderly in that area. Disorderliness introduced order. There are some people we cannot counsel because they have not given us a basis for that relationship. That's another ministerial ethics. Somebody who does not listen to you, you should keep your counsel to yourself. Keep it to yourself. When he suffers, he will come around. He will come around. Are we together? Relationship. Relationship. They will do what? They will counsel you. Look at Nathan. Nathan. Are we together? When he came to David. Are we together? Came to David. Then the guy had killed what's his name now? Uriah. And the priest came, a very wise man, and he gave a Bible. Say, Kadupeluriu. Ibawo agbawo. Iba takpele seo. Ekpeleo. Yeah. I just came to see you, sir. Hope everything is going well. Ekpele, ekulu, ekuitolu, ekuorolu. Then the king was like, the king is sitting down with his staff. This is there. He did not know that he came to fire him. He said, yeah, sir, I don't know if I can bring something to your notice. There's an event that has happened in the past 3 days, a very terrible event that must not go without the insight and the judgment of the king. Tell me. Should the servants go? They can stay, but if you want them to go, but it's sensitive, okay. Oh, yeah, you can go. Yeah, go. Let's hear it. He says, it's a serious thing, no? In this nation, Iluto Loba to Nitoye. Kabisi. Then David said, Pamisoro now! Maya can people say, Pamisoro! Say, Oda, Teba Wibe. I'm a good actor, Abby. Some of you didn't know I used to be in drama team. I used to be head of drama committee. Say, And as he's talking, he's looking at the guards. In case the man of God has to japa. Because Bamiji, say there's a man in this city, a rich man, a poor man. Say the rich man had a visitor. The rich man had, if the rich man has desired a woman, it was not scarce for him. But he didn't say woman, he said sheep. There are sheep everywhere. Could have chosen any. He said, but there was this poor man who was just one sheep. Who did he move away? He grew up together and this and that and that and that like a pet. The king would have been, The king would be saying is that, that must be a good man. He was reminding David his commitment to the sheep in the wilderness. So David could relate when he says a man has become so fond and bonded with his animal. David will relate. Say, I like that man. He's a man like me. Okay? Point one, clicked. And see, the man had a visitor. And then a visitor came, and then the wealthy man now looked around and now felt that it is the animal, the pet, the flock, the single sheep of the poor man that they will use to feed his own, what's he called, visitors, to satisfy his own pleasure. Forcefully take what does not belong to him, and he kills the animal, and then he handles the man. Then the Bible said, David's anger was kindled. And he allowed him to give the judgment. This was how Nathan was. It is well. Sir, say it now. What's happening? Sir, it is you. The Bible says he rent his clothes. Are we together? He rent his clothes. But he had made a pronouncement. He went through it. Yes. God is just. Are we together? Are we together? He went through it. So look at this. Just like Nathan, those supernatural relationships, they will set you aright. They will make you to see what you are not seeing. You will now see the foolishness in your conduct. What you thought you were wise. You know the guy was scheming it. As far as it was concerned, at that moment, he was using the wisdom of a king. Okay, bring out. Who is your husband? Uriah. This is one of your best men. We can find other people. Send him to where the war is hot and withdraw the men. Wickedness. So, what he thought was wisdom, Nathan now came and showed him what? It was the foolishness of wickedness and selfishness. Supernatural relationships. Are we together, church? So they are set up around us to help us to be much more established in the will of God. They are for your maturity. Are we together, church? The instructions in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus were built on relationships. 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 These are men that their presence around you is wisdom. Their presence makes you smarter than you really are alone. Their presence in your life makes you look smarter than you really are. When you listen to their voice, are we together? Someone said, no, I don't need them. I have friends around me. Friends? Which friends? Which friends? Can your friends instruct you? Can they instruct you? Let's say my parents. I have my parents. Does your parents teach you on evangelism? Your parents, do they take you to training in prayer? Do they take you out? Do they teach you the word of God? There should be people in your life that can call you to order. Ezekiel Church. That can call you to order. Supernatural relationships instill order in our lives. Pray for me, I close the session. They instill order. They instill order in our lives. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, he says, my son, that's a relationship. Titus 1 4. Titus, my own son, that's a relationship. 1 Timothy 1 2. Timothy, my own son, that's a relationship. So Paul was a spiritual father. Who is your spiritual father? Who is your spiritual father? Who is the voice of sanity in your life? When you are at the point where you're about to misbehave, whose voice do you hear? What is the voice through which God speaks into your life? That is a supernatural relationship. He says to recognize it. 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 Recognize it means to know it and to allow it to fill its place. No minister of the gospel, hear this, can survive alone. Are we together? And here the second one. The work of the ministry which we have been called to do exposes us to all manners of people. Ezekiel exposes us. I told you that interaction, you interact with the unsaved. Some of the interaction is with the saved. Did you observe? You see, one of the challenges of the young prophet, are we together, was that he had no voice over his life. The young prophet, remember the young prophet? Are we together? Who was sent to give the word to a king of a nation. And having gone there, was given instructions to not eat or drink or sleep or pass the night, but to return. And if any man bade him to eat or sleep or drink by the table, he should not eat. Then as he had gone there, he had given the message, was coming back. Then an old prophet went to him. The challenge of many people today is that they have come across old prophets. Men who have signs of the call. An old prophet can tell you what will happen to you when you pray 20 hours. It does not mean he still pray. So he has a form of training. He's there. He has it. He has experience in ministry. He will tell you. When he's talking like this, by the time he's done with you, he will water down all of the seed of God in your life. I remember the year 2012, a very spectacular year in my life. You see, let me tell you something. You must never forget certain years in your life. Those years and dates will be hallmarks. There will be periods to mark in your calendar. There are certain years in your life that you must not forget. You must not forget the year that you were called to pastor. You must not forget the year that you were told to lead a cell. You must not forget the year that you joined the church. You must not forget the year that you were called to lead. You mustn't forget certain things in your life. Are you with me? History. That's why you read in the prophet in the year so-so-so. Some in Isaiah, it says, after the demise of so-so king, the word of God came to me. Some will say, in the reign, the first year of the reign of King so-so, the word of God came to Isaiah, the word of God came to Jeremiah. The date, They added days to it. I remember 2012, which was another very spectacular year in my life. I've been in the ministry before then, obviously. Well, 2012 was a different year. Are we together? Another such kind of year was 2017 in my life. Amen. The year 2017 was the year that One Life Believers Commission started. Another crucial deadline. Are we together? Remember 2012? I was out fasting and praying. I fasted for the space of a month. 30 days stretch, I'd go fasting, praying, fasting, and studying. I remember in one of those days, as I walked away from where I used to stay, I mean, away, I walked to a point around SUB. And I saw this woman, this lady there. She used to be my senior in secondary school. She had graduated before me, I think a year ahead of me. So she had graduated. So by the time I saw her, I greeted her and all of that. As I was talking to her, she observed that my lips were moving. You know, I was speaking in tongues under my breath. So I didn't know she observed it. They said, "Oh, you are speaking in tongues." I was still very much young then. He says, "Younger than now." He says, "You are speaking in tongues." I said, yes, I'm speaking in tongues. And then he said, that when did you start speaking in tongues? So then having the conversation. Then she started explaining some things to me about, you know, serving God, working with God, loving God. So I began to listen. But I can't remember the statement that finished the conversation. He said, "Don't worry. After a while, you will come of it." That one didn't sit deep. It didn't sit well. It showed me this. She mentioned this. She mentioned that. She shared her own experience. When she spoke with tongues, how she was praying, how she was fasting, attending meetings, how she was serving in church. Then, the way she ended, she says, "Don't worry. You will soon come out of it." That one didn't sit deep. It didn't sit well in my heart. I was like, how? As I left the place, I think I stumbled against a book by Kenneth Dickey at Kenneth Dickey Library. I took the book to Kenneth Dickey Library. I read the book. It was in that book that I got an insight of how to handle that conversation. I remember leaving Kenneth Dickey Library that day, and I went straight to Chapel Fidia, not far, and I prayed for hours to undo the seed I felt was sown in that statement. Years later, I now remember what happened. She was backsliding. So they will tell you, when I was in school, I also used to pray 18 hours. Don't worry, in fact, when you pray, this will happen, yes, you even have vision, this and this. See, a major thing you must always ask yourself before you take an advice: what is the fellow doing now? All prophets. They are not people to take serious. They will tell you, you see all these doctrine you are doing. He said, someone told me, he said, "You have not known life. That's why you are sharing the word, doing doctrine. It's because you have not known life." Yeah. I don't want to know that life. Says, I might not know the life, but I know there's an instruction in scripture that says it is what? It is expected of a man, are we together, that the steward may found what? Faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Expected of a steward to be faithful. I'm just being faithful. Faithful with our supernatural relationships. You must be careful. Those who allow their words into your heart. We'll continue this the next session. I want you to bow your heads the next few minutes and pray about your supernatural relationships. Men and women that God has used for you. Men and women that God is using for you. Men and women that God has put you around to help them. Pray the Holy Ghost that you will carry out your function in their lives, and that you will not hinder your supernatural relationships to carry out their function in your life. Pray the Holy Ghost.
Lord, I allow the walk of every man that you have put around me. I'm open to their warnings. I'm open to their admonitions. I am open. I'm open. I'm open. I'm open. I'm open to their counsel. I'm open to their instructions. Because I know that you will bring me leading to them. Now also pray for yourself that you will be, you will function efficiently at a supernatural relationship around men and women that God has set you around. You will not allow offense or strife whatsoever to put you off, to turn you off. I will be that man that you have planned that I will be around the others. I will be that man around them. Supernatural relationships. Supernatural relationships. Supernatural relationships. Pray some more, pray some more. I will be God's man around others. I won't allow the devil to cut it off, and I will not allow the devil to pervert it. Let's embark on a break, a 2 hour break. Are we together? This is 4:30, 4:30, 4:40. That means I'll meet us again at exactly 6:30. Are we together, church? 2 hours break, and then we'll take a session, and then we can have our meal. Then we'll have the last session. Don't forget, I told us yesterday that I will be ministering to us, you know, to the gift of prophecy and also the ministry of the laying on of hands. Now, the gift of prophecy itself is potent. It's potent. It's directional. It's directional. It's a revelatory gift. It's the utterance gift that seeks to minister revelation. That's prophecy. It's an utterance gift, but it seeks to minister, so it enters into the revelatory office. So the gift is potent on its own. But you see, there's something about combining that gift with the laying of hands. It's a special ministry. And I have it. It's a special ministry. And oftentimes, when both are combined, this is what happens. It's to show you that whatever was said in prophecy was then given to you at that moment. Are we together? So oftentimes you find Paul talking to Timothy to pay attention to the things ministered to him through prophecy and the laying on of hands. So the addition or the combination of the gift of prophecy
and the leading of angels was to show you, is to show you that whatever was said by the Spirit is also then what? Given to you at that moment. It then becomes yours. Are we together? Are we together? Things can be amplified that way. Amen? Things can be renewed that way. There's a renewal and a refreshing that comes by ministering the things of the Spirit that can be given also through the leading of hands. Are we together, church? Then we'll do that in the ninth session. I'm still waiting on the Lord and see how that will be done. I kind of have a direction already. I'm still scrutinizing. Should it be that way? Should it be the other way? How will that be done? Are we together? I'm sure between our ninth session, I'll have a clear direction on how we'll go about ministering to you in the ninth session. Are we together? So without much ado, our session for this afternoon is declared closed. I'll meet you again in exactly 2 hours' time. Bless you.